بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، in our previous class we had began reading from the second point. The author, he mentioned rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the means of removing distress and worry and grief, and from the beneficial means to bring about peace and contentment and happiness in one's life, and that is to be good to the creation. To be good in dealing with the people, to be good and honest and kind and nice and dealing with the slaves of Allah, all of them according to their status, and from a person. Some of them have greater rights and more of a right to the ihsan than others. But the point here is to be good to all of the people, rather to all of the creation, even the animals and the likes like this. And this is from the means the Shaykh is mentioning, rahimahullah, to remove grief and to remove worry and to remove stress and to remove heartache and to bring about peace and contentment and to bring about ease of mind and the heart. And it's a beautiful manner how he has made this arrangement, rahimahullah, beginning first and foremost with establishing the right of Allah. The one who wants to be happy, then let him strive to make al-ihsan fi ibadati al-khaliq. Let him strive to perfect the worship of the Creator and strive to be obedient to the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation and every circumstance, and to observe the obligation of showing gratitude and thanks in times of goodness and prosperity, and to observe the obligation of being patient in times of difficulty and adversity. And in every circumstance and situation in the life of a believer, there is an action of servitude and worship. There's an action of servitude and worship, and that's incumbent to perform at that time, and with the heart first and foremost, and likewise with the body parts as well. There are obligations that one must perform in times of happiness and joy, and likewise obligations that one must perform in times of hardship and difficulty. Also, there are prohibitions that one must avoid in both times, and all of this, and for the one who perfects that, then he has reached the level of al-ihsan and worship, and he has fulfilled the rites of faith. And this means true happiness can be achieved. Rather, this is the foundation for that affair. And then also, along with that, the second point the Shaykh mentioned after that as well, from the means is to do good to the creation. And this is the reality of faith, that a person, he will strive to perfect the worship of Allah, and likewise his dealings with the slaves of Allah, and likewise his dealings with the slaves of Allah. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُوهَا وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in that well-known narration, that fear Allah wherever you may be, and he obey him subhanahu wa ta'ala in every circumstance and every situation that you find yourself in, and follow up a bad deed with a good deed, it will erase it and remove it, and deal with the people with noble and good manners. So this is the means for success. But in our previous class, with regards to the second point, the Shaykh, he had mentioned his evidence for that, and also this subtle and beautiful understanding that he has derived from this particular text. And that was the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ فَسَوْفَ نُوتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of which is, there is no good in much of their private counsels. There is no khayr. There's no good in much of their private counsels, except for those who order for charity. They order for charity to be given, or they command that which is good from statement and action and deed, or they order and encourage the rectification, to bring rectification, you need to rectify between the people, and to rectify between parties that had fallen out, and the likes like this. So there's no good. There's no good in many of the private consultations of the people of mankind whenever they speak together, except in these affairs. So what is understood from this verse here is that these affairs are considered khayr for the one who performs them. This is what the Shaykh is establishing, that these affairs are from the avenues of khayr and the avenues of goodness. Giving charity is good, itself is good, action of goodness. And likewise, commanding the good, commanding justice, and commanding honesty, and the likes, and commanding that which is good in the legislation and also in the sound mind. And the likes, this is all considered good. This is khayr. This is khayr. A person, he will order somebody to say good words, and he will prohibit him from bad words. This is considered khayr. He would order somebody to be just in his dealing with his wife. This is khayr. He would order somebody to be just with her dealing with her husband. This is khayr. This action here is khayr. This is good. This is good. Likewise, if there's a falling out between family members or a falling out between co-workers or colleagues and the likes like this, a person, he would step in and try to rectify that. He would step in and try to rectify that and bring consultation and rectification between those parties and remove the animosity and bring unity to those hearts that have separated. This is an action of goodness. This action here is considered good. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified here that وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And whoever does this, any of these actions mentioned here, whoever does them seeking the pleasure of Allah, then we will give him a great reward. Then we will give him a great reward. So therefore, these actions in themselves are good. But as for obtaining the reward for that, there must be an intention sincerity for the pleasure of Allah. There must be an intention sincerity for the pleasure of Allah. So this is from those evidences that indicate the obligation of intention for the one who wants a reward, for the one who hopes for a reward for his actions of goodness. There must be an intention, and that intention must be sincerity and purity, seeking the pleasure of Allah. Seeking the pleasure of Allah. And this is in accordance with the famous statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. That verily the deeds are by way of the intention, and every individual, he'll have what he intended. Meaning the one who hopes for a reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his deeds, then he has to have the intention of that. He has to have the intention of that. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Ajran Azima. So previously the Shaykh in the beginning of this, he had mentioned that any of the good and the bad, any of the righteous and the corrupt and disobedient, they all share in this. And sometimes they do good, and the good that they do, they'll be recompensed for that. They'll be recompensed for that. The one who does good, he will have good coming to him in this life. But as for the believer, he has a step above, and he has a miza and a special quality that raises him above this and brings him a greater bounty and blessing and brings him more good in this affair, and that is that he's hoping for the reward from Allah. That he's hoping for the reward from Allah. Then Allah, he mentioned, and the one who does these actions of goodness, and he's seeking the pleasure of Allah, then he will have a tremendous reward with Allah. The Shaykh, he's saying, from that tremendous reward that one will have for doing these actions of goodness to mankind, giving charity to the people, ordering the people and reminding them to do good, and rectifying between the people whenever they have fallen out. All of these are actions of kindness one would do to the people, that one would do to others. And from the actions of al-ihsan, and which is the topic of the point. But the one who does that, seeking the pleasure of Allah, سَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Then verily we're going to give him أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, a tremendous and a great reward. The Shaykh is saying, from the great reward that one will get for doing that ihsan to those people, is that Allah will remove the worry and the grief and the stress and the hardship he finds in his heart. So this is a beautiful point that the Shaykh is making and understanding from this narration. فَأَخْبَرَ تَعَالَى أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورُ كُلَّهَا خَيْرٌ مِمَّنْ صَدَرَتْ مِنْهُ وَالْخَيْرُ يَجْلِبُ الْخَيْرُ وَيَدْفَعُ الشَّرُ وَأَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ الْمُحْتَسِبُ يُؤْتِيهِ اللَّهُ أجرا عظيما ومن جملة الأجر العظيم زوال الهم والغم والأكدار ونحوها. So Allah has informed in this verse, he mentioned rahimahullah, that all of these affairs mentioned before is considered goodness, and the one that they come from, or the one that these actions proceed from, they're considered actions of goodness, and goodness brings about goodness, and goodness also is a means to repel and to stop evil from coming to a person. But as for the believer, the one who's seeking the reward from Allah, then Allah will give him a tremendous reward. Then Allah will give him a great reward. And from that great reward, and from that great reward is that the worry and the concern and the grief and affairs that bring hardship to the heart and pains to the heart, the heartache and the likes like this, it will be removed. It will be removed. And so this is, an amazing understanding that Shaykh has derived from this. لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس. And so this is clarifying that doing good to the people is considered khair. These actions of kindness, these actions of ihsan from صدقة والأمر بمعروف والنهي عن المنكر and الإصلاح بين الناس, all of this is considered khair. And then the one who does that with a sincere intention, hoping for the pleasure of Allah, he has a tremendous reward with Allah. From the tremendous reward that he has for doing this ihsan is that Allah will remove the hardship and the pains and the worries and the stress from his life. So this is a beautiful point that the author he's mentioning here. To do good to the people from whatever aspect of good one can do. Whether it's smiling in their face and being kind to them and courteous to them, or whether it's giving them wealth, or whether it's interceding, making intercession on their behalf, any from some worldly affairs that one has a position and a rank with, and the likes like that, or giving them time, lending them an ear. Sometimes a person, he has stuff on his mind, he just needs somebody to talk to. And he doesn't really want that person to say anything, he just needs to get it off his chest. So you'll find a person sometimes, he has troubles, and then if he finds someone he can trust, he can just talk to them and express to them some of his affairs, and after that he will feel better. And a person, he will give him his time for this, and he will do this hoping for the reward, and he will listen to his concerns, and he will give him sincere advice, and he will direct him to that which is good in his deen and his dunya and the likes like this. All of this is from those avenues of al-ihsan, from those avenues of al-ihsan. And the one who does that, seeking the reward from Allah, this is a means to have happiness in life. This is the means to have joy in the heart and to have a peace of mind, because the one who does good to someone, then al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. The one who is good to the creation of Allah, Allah is good to him. Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman. That those who are merciful, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, shows them mercy. Yarhamu man fi al-ardi yarhamkum man fi al-sama. And show mercy to those who are on the earth, and the one who is above the heavens will show mercy to you. And even with regards to the animals. A man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna shata athbahuha wa arhamuha. That verily the sheep I slaughter it, but I show it mercy at the time of slaughtering it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إذا الشاتة إذا رحمتها رحمك الله. And the sheep, if you show mercy to it, then Allah will show you mercy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he encouraged this in a number of narrations. And he mentioned, "Man la yarham la yurham." The one who does not show mercy, he will not be shown mercy. So the one who is merciful to the creation, the one who is kind to the creation, the one who is beneficial to the creation, likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful to him and will be kind to him, and he'll bring benefit for that person. And from this affair is that he will have a happy life, and he'll find contentment and joy in his heart, and the worries and the griefs and the pains, they will go away. The Shaykh says, Faslun, a chapter. ومن أسباب دفع الخلق الناشئ عن توتر الأعصاب واشتغال القلب ببعض المخدرات الاشتغال بعمل من الأعمال أو علم من العلوم النافعة فإنها تلهي القلب عن اشتغاله بذلك الأمر الذي أقلقه وربما نسي بسبب ذلك الأسباب التي أوجبت له الهم والغم ففرحت نفسه وازداد نشاطه وهذا السبب أيضا مشترك بين المؤمن وغيره بين المؤمن وغيره. So the Shaykh says now in this third point that also from the means of removing worry and stress that comes from the tension on the nerves, and that it comes from being tense and being nervous and having a lot of tension in one's life, this worry and this grief and the likes like this, this heartache and pains that come to the heart that come from being tense and nervous, and also come from the heart being preoccupied with these affairs that that annoy him and agitate him. And so there are things that worry a person, There are things that worry a person. The Sheikh is saying, where do they come from? They're coming from being nervous and being tense, and also from being preoccupied, the heart being preoccupied with these affairs that annoy him, and thinking about these affairs and entertaining these ideas and the likes like this, these disturbing thoughts and disturbing ideas and the likes like this. So from the means to repel this and to remove this is that a person, he will be preoccupied with a deed, from the deeds, with the action, from the actions, or from knowledge. A knowledge from the beneficial knowledge. And that he will find some beneficial deeds that are allowed, some actions that he can do, that he can perform, or some knowledge that's beneficial for him. Whether it's a religious affair or whether it's a worldly affair. Whether the actions are from the actions of the deen and the hereafter, or even the actions that are mubaha, that are permissible for him to busy himself with. And likewise the knowledge. To busy himself with knowledge, beneficial knowledge. Knowledge, first and foremost, beneficial knowledge in their religion, or even some other beneficial knowledge, any from the worldly affair. The point is that to remove these thoughts and these worrisome ideas and these troublesome thoughts and the likes like this, is that one will preoccupy himself with other things that are beneficial, from actions and from deeds. He said, because these things will entertain the heart and preoccupy the heart from the thing that caused him to become worried about. And the thing that worried him and distressed him and grieved him in the first place, if he occupies himself with that which is beneficial from these types of actions that have been mentioned, or that knowledge and the likes like this, now he'll be preoccupied from that affair. And maybe he would even forget the reasons that caused him to worry and to grieve in the first place. And he maybe, to the extent he'll be preoccupied, something will happen in his life that will grieve him or worry him or stress him, and then he'll turn away from that and he'll occupy himself instead of that. Instead of entertaining that idea, he will busy himself with knowledge, or busy himself with other beneficial actions, and then possibly he could even forget the reasons that caused that grief and that worry in the first place. And then at this time his soul will rejoice and his nishat will increase, yani his energy will become energetic, and he will become more active, and the likes like this. And he's saying this is also something that this means here is something that the believer and other than him, and he share in the believer and the disbeliever, or the believer and the weak believer, the believer and the weak believer and the disbeliever, and they all share in this affair. And those who have strong faith, those who have weak faith, and those who do not have faith at all, they all share in this means. They can take this means, but the believer, he has the greatest portion of that. And something to ponder and think about now, the Shaykh Rahimahullah, how did he write this treatise? He was in distress. He himself was in distress with a headache. He had the pain in his head until he went to a hospital in another land. He went to see a doctor and a specialist in another land, left his land because of the pain that he's experiencing. Rahimahullah is going to a specialist and a doctor in another land. And this is the circumstance that he's in. And he's facing this pain and this distress and this hardship, this physical trial of marad and this sickness, that something, and he obviously is serious. Obviously serious. But what did he do? How did he forget that? How did he find peace? How did he console his soul? And the likes like this, he busied himself with writing the likes of this treatise. Busying himself with knowledge, and at the same time benefiting the people. At the same time benefiting the people. So, wallahu a'lam, la'alla shay kana fi jannah. Maybe at the time of this writing this, the Shaykh, he's in the paradise, and from the ease that he's finding, writing this affair, busying himself with this knowledge, and he's writing at the same time, as if he's telling. And if we think about this, this is what he was doing at that time, while he was sick and in a hospital and in a bed of sickness, he's busying himself with knowledge. And busying himself likewise, thinking about how he can also, with his knowledge, benefit the creation. So he's doing these things himself, rahimahullah. He's doing this and he's applying what he's advising, first and foremost. So this is somebody who is speaking from experience. From experience. This is a beautiful affair to think about and to ponder over and to reflect upon. So the Shaykh himself, he was sick. And he was busy with this affair like this. So likewise, a believer, if something happens to him that worries him or troubles him or harms his heart and brings pain to his heart and the likes like this, then he, from the means to deal with that and to treat that, is to preoccupy oneself with that which is beneficial, from the beneficial actions and the beneficial knowledge and the likes like this. So he says, وَلَكِنَ الْمُؤْمِنْ يَمْتَازُ بِإِيمَانِهِ وَإِخْلَاصِهِ وَاحْتِسَابِهِ فِي اشْتِغَالِهِ بِذَلِكَ الْعِلْمِ الَّذِي يَتَعَلَّمُهُ أَوْ يُعَلِّمُهُ وَيَعْمَلُ الْخَيْرَ الَّذِي يَعْلَمُهُ إن كان عبادة فهو عبادة وإن كان شغلا دنيويا أو عادة دنيوية أصحبها النية الصالحة وقصد الاستعانة بذلك على طاعة الله فلذلك أثره الفعال في دفع الهم والغموم والأحزان. He said, but as for the believer, he has a greater portion of this. He has a greater portion of this because of his faith and because of his sincerity and because of his hoping for the reward. That whenever he's preoccupied with this knowledge that he's learning or that he's teaching or with that action of goodness that he's doing from that the good that he knows, whether it's ibadah, if it's ibadah, he's involved in ibadah. If it's worship, he's in worship. Or if it's being preoccupied with a worldly affair, or a worldly custom and the likes like this, he will accompany along with that worldly affair a good intention, a righteous intention. And he would intend by way of that to seek aid and help upon the obedience of Allah. For example, and it's very clear if somebody were too busy with himself with knowledge, something disturbed him, or some stress came to him, or some grief came to him, and he would busy himself with knowledge. He would busy himself with knowledge, and he would forget that, and that would leave him. And this is something that the Salaf, they would be known to do, that they would be preoccupied with knowledge to the extent that they would forget the dunya and the hardships of this life and the likes like this, and dedicate themselves to knowledge. If I try to remember an author now that is mentioned by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, one of the Salaf, they mentioned لَنْ يَنَالَ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا مَنْ عَطَّلَ بُسْتَانَهُ وَخَرَّبَ دُكَانَهُ من خرب دكانه لا من أعطل دكانه وخرب بستانه ومات أقرب قريبا له ولم يشهد جنازته. Like this, he said that nobody would never, a person, he would never truly obtain this knowledge until his store goes to ruin, until his store is shut down, until his garden and his farm is ruined. And until one of his closest relatives die, and he does not even witness the janazah. And meaning because he's preoccupied with the knowledge. The point is that the one who truly wants to reach this knowledge, he will be devoted to this extent. That he will, like, if he has a garden, it will be destroyed. Either he will use it and spend it up and the likes like this, or he will not have time to take care of it. And likewise, his business, the money that comes from that, he will spend it all in seeking knowledge until it's finished. Or likewise, he will not have the time to be concerned with that, so it will go out of business, and the likes like this, and then someone from his family members will die, and he will not have time or be able to witness the janazah himself because he's so preoccupied and devoted to knowledge. This is something, one of the narrations that's mentioned in Jami' Akhlaq al-Rawi wa Adab al-Sami' by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi. Also, Ibn Jama'ah, he mentioned this narration in Tathkirat al-Sami'. His book called Tathkirat al-Sami, and he mentioned that this was mubalagha in the affair. But the point is that from the means to forget about the concerns of the worldly life and to forget about the hardships and the pains that come to the heart is to be preoccupied with knowledge. So this one is clear. As for the worldly affair, the Sheikh has mentioned a beautiful point here, also to benefit himself. And to remove the worry and the stress is to busy oneself with worldly affairs. For example, he could exercise. He could exercise. Maybe something will worry him and stress him out, so he can go jog, or he can go lift weights, or he can go do some type of physical exercise, and the likes like this. To preoccupy himself, to preoccupy himself and to forget the heartache and the pains that he was facing. But the point the Sheikh is making now, but he will accompany that worldly affair with a beautiful intention. So he will exercise, for example, but not just to become strong or to look handsome or to be healthy, but rather to be strong in order to worship Allah. To be strong and to be physically strong and hopes to be healthy likewise in order to continue to worship Allah. And to worship Allah in the best manner, to fulfill the rights of Allah, and also to help the people and the likes like this. And to have ihsan, he'll work out and exercise and hope to strengthen his body and his mind in order to fulfill those two points before. Al-ihsan fi ibadat al-khaliq wa al-ihsan fi mu'amalat al-khaliq. So he can try to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill his rights in the best manner. And also so he'll be a means to help others. So he'll be a means to help others. So then he'll accompany that action, that worldly affair, the action of the worldly affair with a beautiful intention. And so now he's getting reward. Now he's getting reward. And also this is from the greater means. Whenever he does it for the sake of Allah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to replace the worry and grief with contentment and satisfaction and ease. And ease. So this is an example. Even if a person, for example, some of the youth, they like to play basketball. Something happened. Something is disturbing one of the youth, for example. And the likes like this for a person. And he can go play basketball. And with the brothers and the likes like this. But he will intend by way of that, and he also to strengthen himself, to be strong, not just to play because he likes to play or loves to play, but he can play and also at the same time, yani to gain strength and to gain energy so that his body will be strong so he can continue to worship Allah. So the point is that whatever the worldly affair would be that he would do to preoccupy himself from that affair that worried him or troubled him or grieved him and the likes like this, he would do that along with the beautiful intention, turning it into an act of worship. Turning it into an act of worship as a means to help him be obedient and to continue upon the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Shaykh is saying this affair here, فَذَلِكَ فَلِذَلِكَ أَثَرُهُ الْفَعَالِ فِي دَفِ الْهَمِّ وَالْغُمُومِ وَالْأَحْزَانِ. Is that what you have in yours? Abu Yasin? فِي دَفِ الْهَمِّ وَالْغُمُومِ وَالْأَحْزَانِ. صح؟ I was thinking maybe it should be الْهُمُوم, huh? It's more suitable. Maybe it's a misprint. I listened to the recording, the reciter read it to Sheikh Abdul Razak the same way. في دفع الهم والغموم والحزان. It's more suitable for the context. الهموم والغموم والحزان. You have غموم. What print do you have? That's because any, الهم. الهم. لكن I'm so that's what I have. الهم. But al-ghumum is jama and ahzan is jama, so it's more suitable. And the Shaykh is very yani fasih, so probably this is just a misprint. I'm thinking that it should say فَلِذَلِكَ أَثَرُهُ الْفَعَالِ فِي دَفِ الْهُمُومِ وَالْغُمُومِ وَالْأَحْزَانِ. Yani this is any more suitable for the uslub of the Shaykh, and Allah knows best. But that's how it is in your print, huh? And the meaning is the same. But the Shaykh is very yani precise and also eloquent in his speech. And this one is better to say it yani in this context. في دفع الهموم والغموم والأحزان. فكم من إنسان ابتلي بالخلق والملازمة الأقدار فحلت به الأمراض المتنوية فصار دواؤه الناجع نسيانه السبب الذي كدره وأقلقه واشتغاله بأمر. So the Shaykh, he mentions now, rahimahullah, how many individuals, how many times has a person been tried with worry and with constant affairs that annoy and disturb him, any constant hardships? Sometimes a person, he'll be tried with affairs that it seems like it's not going away. And the troublesome affair that he's facing is continuing. Yani, day in, it's still there the next day. A week later, he's still facing the trouble. He's trying to find a way out. But this fear is with him for some time. And he's facing this hardship and difficulty that's worrying him and disturbing him and distressing him. Something that's sticking with him for a while. And this will cause him to have many different types of diseases. Yani in his heart, his soul, even sometimes in his body. And the Shaykh, he says, and the only beneficial medicine or treatment that can come for this person here is that he would forget the reason that annoyed him. That annoyed him and worried him, and that he would preoccupy himself with something, some beneficial actions from the affairs that concern him. And he will have troubles and worry and stress and the likes like this, and the only thing that would cure him, and the only way he would find a way out from that is just to preoccupy himself with something else. To leave entertaining those ideas and to go busy himself with some type of job, or some type of occupation, or some type of exercise, or seeking knowledge, or teaching, and the likes like this, or some type of beneficial affair. And then he will forget. At this time, he forgot, he's focused on this issue now, and that which concerned him before, and the reasons that brought about that concern, and the likes like this, are gone now, at these moments here. So this is a wonderful benefit, likewise, on how to deal with these adversities that one faces in life. So the Shaykh, he says, وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَكُونَ الشُّغُلُ أَلَذِي يَشْتَغِلُ فِيهِ مِمَّا تَأَنَّسَ مما تأنس به النفس وتشتاقه فإن هذا أدعى لحصول هذا المقصود النافع والله أعلم. So he says, and also what is befitting and proper, and he, is that the person that he'll preoccupy himself with something, that thing that he preoccupies himself with is something that his soul is desiring, something that's desirable to him, something that he prefers, something that he likes. Something that he likes and something that he desires and the likes like this, because this is would be this is more likely to bring about the intent, the beneficial intent. And if, for example, if a person he is not interested in basketball, for example, and then he has these griefs and these worries, and then they're like, so let's go play back. He goes plays basketball, and then he doesn't even want to be there in the first place. So now he's in a situation where it's like now he's grieving about the fact that he's here in this place. So he doesn't like this. He's already grieving, and then he's in a situation trying to get rid of the grief, and he's in a place where he doesn't like to be in the first place. This is not going to bring about the intent from this point. The point is then to preoccupy oneself with something that somebody likes, an affair that somebody's interested in. Something that is suitable for that particular individual and his soul. Some people, they like these things, and some people, they like the other things. Some people, they'll busy themselves with reading a beneficial book or in their religion, for example, or in the deen, or reading from the biographies of the Salaf, or even reading some beneficial knowledge from the worldly affairs. And reading, if he's going to school about engineering, reading about this affair, maybe he'll find peace in that. And the likes like this, all of this is allowed, alhamdulillah. All of this is allowed, alhamdulillah. But he wouldn't read about something that he's not interested in, because then the intent from the or the purpose of that is not going to be any fulfilled property. And the whole goal from preoccupying himself with this thing is that he will become engaged in that. That he'll become engaged in that. At this time, he will leave off the thoughts and the worries that disturb him and cause him problems. The fourth point, the Shaykh, he says, وَمِمَّا يَدْفَعُ بِهِ وَمِمَّا يُدْفَعُ بِهِ الْهَمُّ وَالْخَلَقِ اجْتِمَاعُ الْفِكْرِ كُلِّهِ عَلَى الْإِحْتِمَامِ على الاهتمام بعمل اليوم الحاضر وقطعه عن الاهتمام في الوقت المستقبل وعن الحزن على الوقت الماضي. So the Shaykh, he says now, and from the means that repel the worry and the grief, or the worry and the concern, being worried and concerned and agitated and likes like this, disturbed about affairs, is that a person, he would gather all of his thoughts upon the actions, and he would gather all of his thoughts and concern about the deeds and the actions that he's performing that day. And he'll focus on the action at hand, and the time at hand, and the things that he's facing now. And this is from the greatest means to remove the worry and the grief. To remove the worry and the grief. Yeah, the worry at him, the most of the time is related to something that's in the future. It's related to something in the future. He's worrying about something that's going to happen. And he's expecting something to happen. So Yusibul Ham, he's worried, he's thinking, what about this, what about that? What if it goes like this? What if it goes like that? Maybe it's going to be successful. Maybe it's not going to be successful. Maybe it's going to be difficult. Maybe it's going to be harmful. Like this, until like if he entertains that worry, it can like they say, worry him to death. And a person can become sick from that. And also, there are affairs that will grieve a person, and from the huzn. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is from pondering and reflecting over things that occurred before, in the past. So there are things that disturb the heart. Heartaches come because of worrying about what will happen in the future. Heartache also comes because of grieving over what happened in the past. So the Shaykh is saying, in order to remove these affairs, is to be concerned about the deed today. To be concerned about the action at hand and the obligation of that one is facing at that moment. In this manner, along with that, cutting off his concern about the future and his worry about the past. And as for the affairs in the future, nobody knows what will happen to him. Nobody knows what tomorrow will bring. So what happens in the future, nobody knows. A believer, he hopes good from Allah Azza wa Jal, and he knows that what's upon him is to take the means of goodness and that are legislated for him, and to avoid the means of evil that he's forbidden from at the time at hand. So then he will not stress and worry about the future. He will hope good from Allah Azza wa Jal and work now. As for the that which grieves him from the past, then he will rectify that with sincere tawbah. And that which grieves him from the past, from the affairs that have preceded. And if it's from his own faults and mistakes and the likes like this, or his own actions, then he will rectify that and fix that with sincere repentance. And he will learn a lesson from that and not fall into that affair again. Or if it was something from the pains that he experienced from the previous, from the past, any from losing a loved one or something beloved to him that he lost, then he knows that that's from the decree of Allah. And he will submit to that and surrender, that this happened, whatever it was, whatever happened in the past, all of that's from the decree of Allah. So if it was from his faults and mistakes, he repents to Allah. If it's from the affairs that were decreed, if from the loss of a loved one, or the loss of wealth and the likes like this, or position or status or rank or a job, then he knows that that's from the decree of Allah, and he will leave that. And he will leave that. And he will be busy himself with the day, the deed of the day. This is the point. This is the point here. This is the point here. So he says, وَلِهَذَا اسْتَعَاذَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنَ الْحَمِّ وَالْحُزْنِ. And because of this, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would seek refuge. He would seek refuge with Allah from الْحَمِّ وَالْحُزْنِ. He would seek refuge with Allah from worry, concern, and from grief. And in sadness, grief and sadness. And this is from the ta'awudhat of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الحمي والحزن. ومن العجز والكسل ومن الجبن والبخل وأعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. The Prophet, so from the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would seek refuge with Allah from, is this affair here. أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you from worry, and being over concerned, and from grief and sadness, and from grief and sadness. So, and this is the reason why, because this brings about a bad life. This brings about misery and heartache and the likes like this. Whenever that's removed, whenever Allah removes that, and a believer, he has shelter and refuge with Allah from that, and he's protected from that, then what comes in place of that? If the hem is removed and the worry is removed and the grief is removed, then what comes in place of that? As-sa'ada wa-s-su'ur wa-qana'ah, alhamdulillah, contentment and happiness and joy and peace. So this is the case. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would seek refuge from these affairs. فَالْحُزْنُ عَلَى الْأُمُورِ الْمَاضِيَةِ الَّتِي لَا يُمْكِنُ رَدُّهَا وَلَا اسْتِدْرَاكُهَا وَالْهَمُّ الَّذِي يَحْدُثُ بِسَبَبِ الْخَوْفِ مِنَ الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. So he's saying that the grief and the huzn and the sadness about the past affairs, it's not possible for a person to return them or to go back to them. He can't catch that up. He can't catch up with that. And the only way to catch up with that, for example, is to seek repentance and to learn a lesson. To learn a lesson. A person, no doubt, he can learn lessons from his past. And he can learn lessons from others. And this is a true wise person. He learns from his mistakes. لَا يُلْدَغُ الْمُؤْمِنُ مِنْ جُحْرِ مَرَتَيْنِ. A believer, he's not bit from the same hole twice. So a believer, he learns from his mistake. Also, what has been mentioned, يَنِي السَّعِيدُ مِنْ وَعِظَى بِغَيْرِهِ. The one who is happy, he's the one who takes an admonition from others. The one who takes an admonition from others. وَالشَّقِيُّ مَنْ وَعِظَى بِهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And the one who is miserable and the loser, he's the one, he himself is an admonishment for others. He himself is an admonishment for others. And he has foul and despicable circumstance, the situation that he falls in from the lowly actions and deeds, that people look at him and see his foul outcome and say, I would never want to be like that. لِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And they take admonition from him. And this is the loser. As for the one who is happy, then he's the one who he receives admonition from others. And he learns a lesson from others, but likewise from his own mistakes. That's the point here. That's the point here. So we learn a lesson from our mistakes before, and then we move on, alhamdulillah, and seek the aid and help of Allah. And seek the aid and the help of Allah. So the affairs in the past, a person can't change them. He can't go back and change them. And this is what he's mentioning here, rahimahullah. And as for the concern and the worry in the future, then this comes from worrying and fearing, having fear of the future, having fear of what would happen in the future. And he's afraid what's going to happen in the future, what's going to happen to his job, what's going to happen to his family, what's going to happen this in school, and this and that one and that. And he's worried about what will happen in the future, and he's afraid. This is called adham. So he says, فَيُكُونُ الْعَبْدُ إِبْنَ يَوْمِهِ. So to seek refuge with Allah from these affairs, and to leave off these affairs, and to turn away from these affairs, and a person he will be, and يَكُونَ فَيُكُونُ الْعَبْدُ إِبْنَ يَوْمِهِ. Yani that a person he will be the son of the day, the son of his day. Yani meaning that he's going to be concerned about what he's facing. He's concerned about what he's facing right now, what he's looking at right now. right now, what is an obligation upon him, and the affairs that he's facing and he's dealing with at this moment, and that he's taking care of right now. He will try to actualize that and to benefit from that and to perform that in the best manner. He says, "Rahimahullah, yajma'u jiddahu ijtihadahu fi islahi yawmihi wa waqtihi al-hadir," that he will gather all of his ability and his effort to rectify his day and his time and his present time, to rectify his situation now, to rectify his situation now, the situation at hand. And if he had fallen into something bad before, if there was trouble before, now what he tried to rectify. What's going to happen tomorrow? Wallahu a'lam. Right now, what are you going to do? Right now, rectify what's going on now. Rectify your soul right now. Rectify your situation right now. Try to take charge of your affair and the likes at this moment. At this moment. He said, فَإِنَّ جَمَّ الْقَلْبِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ يُجِبُ تَكْمِلَ الْعَمَالُ وَتَسَلَّ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ عَنِ الْهَمِّ وَالْحَزْنِ. He said, because gathering the heart in this manner, and upon one's any present time, and taking care of the business at hand, this brings about the perfection of deeds. And the one who's focused like this, the action that he's performing right now, for example, if he's praying, right now it's time to pray. So he will focus on that prayer, not what's going to happen later, or not what happened yesterday, and the likes like this. So, and by taking care of the deed at hand, and the action that's going down at that time, that he will master the actions and the deeds that he's performing. Or if he's doing some type of job, likewise, a worldly affair. If he's focused on the time at hand and the action at hand and the deed that he's facing, he'll do it in the best manner. Like this. And in this manner, the person, he will be able to find consolement from worry and from grief and the likes. So the Shaykh, he says, وَالنَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا دَعَى بِدُعَى أو أرشد أمته إلى دعاء فهو يحث مع الاستعانة بالله وطمع في فضله على الجد والاجتهاد في التحقق لحصوله. This is a beautiful point that he mentioned right now. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إذا دعا بدعاء أو أرشد أمته إلى دعاء, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he supplicated with a particular supplication, or if he directed the ummah to supplicate with a particular supplication, he's saying, along with encouraging the person to seek the help of Allah and to hope for the grace and the bounty from Allah, along with that is an encouragement to strive hard and to strive hard and to make great effort to actualize that affair. فِي تَحَقُّكِ لِحُصُولِ مَا يَدْعُو بِحُصُولِهِ وَالتَّخَلِّي أَمَّا كَانَ يَدْعُو لِدَفْعِهِ. That he would strive diligently, along with making supplication, he will supplicate. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he supplicated, or if he ordered the people or encouraged them to supplicate a particular supplication, the Shaykh is saying now a beautiful benefit, rahimahullah, that we're ordered to make that supplication, along with that to seek the help of Allah, the trust and reliance upon Allah, to hope for the grace and the success from Allah, and then to strive hard to take the means to obtain that thing. And then strive hard, take the means to obtain that mean, to obtain that thing, and also to be away from the thing that he's afraid of, that he's afraid of. If he's asking for something, then he will put his trust. He will call on Allah and ask for that. He will put his trust and reliance upon Allah, and he would hope for the aid of Allah and the grace of Allah. And then he'll take the means to achieve it. Also, he will not just make du'a And then sit there and not do anything and expect it for whatever he's calling for just to fall out of the sky. Like this, it's a provision from Allah. Shaykh Abdul Razak, he always makes an example, hafidhahullah, about a supplication that when he makes every morning in Fajr, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an wa rizqan tayyiban wa amalan mutaqabbala. And he makes the point of knowledge. Every morning of a believer, is from the sunnah, that a believer, he will begin his day like this after the Fajr prayer. He will say, "Oh Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge and for halal provision and for deeds that are accepted So the point of knowledge, any person, if he asks Allah for knowledge, then he asks Allah for beneficial knowledge, but then he's going to sleep all day long and he's going to be lazy, and then he's going to sleep until dhuhr, and then after that he's going to go eat in the market and then walk around the mall, and then after that he's going to go take a nap, and then he's going to go eat again, and then he's going to pray and then go to bed. Is he going to get knowledge like this? Oh Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge. He make dua, and then this is his actions. Is the knowledge going to come to him? The knowledge is a provision from Allah Azza wa Jalla. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Innama al-ilmu bi-ta'allum." That knowledge is only by way of learning. So there's means for that. There's, just like the food is provision from Allah, but a believer has to take the means to get the food and then eat the food. And the likes like this, likewise, knowledge is a provision from Allah, but you got to take the means to get it. So the point is that whenever a person supplicates for something, whatever it may be, here in this example is knowledge. Along with that supplication, his heart is trusting Allah. His heart is hoping for the help of Allah. His heart is hoping for the reward and the grace of Allah, that he will get that. And he will take the means. And he will take the means that are legislated for him to obtain that. And also if he's seeking refuge from something, or if he's asking to be protected from something, he will hope that Allah will help him. And he will hope that Allah will bless him. And the likes like this. And then he'll take the means to stay away from that. He'll take the means to avoid that. And if he's asking to be safe, for example, from alcohol, and to be safe from fornication, then and he will not ask for this type of supplication and then go to the club or go to the party or the likes like this, and he go to the place where the alcohol and the women are and mixed together. And if this is contrary to the whole purpose of the supplication. And so the point is, the believer, he will supplicate and call on Allah, and he will couple that with taking the means. So the legislation, the Sharia, has come with this affair. A person, it's incumbent for him to have a tawakkul. And from the perfection of tawakkul and trust, reliance upon Allah is to take the means. Is to take the means. So this is the point of the author. He said, لِأَنَّ الدُّعَى مُقَارِنُ لِلْعَمَلِ فَالْعَبْدُ يَجْتَهِدُ فِي مَا يَنْفَعُهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَالدُّنْيَا وَيَسْأَلُ رَبَّهُ نَجَاحَ مَقْصَدِهِ. So he said, because supplication is must be coupled with action. Supplication is coupled with action. And a person, he should strive to do that which is beneficial for him in his religion and in his worldly affair. And he will ask Allah, he will ask his Lord for success to obtain that which he's seeking. وَيَسْتَعِينُهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And he will seek the help of him for this. And he will seek the help from Allah for this as well. So therefore, and he will make dua, and then he will at the same time strive and work to obtain that which he asked for by taking the means and putting his trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, just as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز وإذا أصابك شيء فلا تقول لو أني فعلت كذا كان كذا وكذا ولكن كل قدر الله وما شاء فعل فإن لو تفتح أمر الشيطان. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned in this authentic narration in Sahih Muslim, he said, be diligent about that which is beneficial for you and seek the help of Allah and do not be helpless. And do not be helpless. Seek, be diligent in that which is beneficial for you, meaning in your deen and in your dunya, meaning in your religion and in your worldly affair. To be diligent for that, and at the same time seek the help of Allah, and do not be helpless. Do not be helpless. And he said, and if something, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and if something befalls you, do not say, oh, if I had done this and this, it would have been like this and that, but rather say, it was the decree of Allah, and whatever Allah wills occurs. قدر الله وما شاء فعل. And this is what one will say. He said, because verily, saying, if I had done this or if I had only done that, this opens up the deed of shaitan. And this opens up the avenue for shaitan to make the waswasa and the whispers and to disturb the person and to enter more worry and grief upon him. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the Shaykh, he says, فَجَمَعَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَيْنَ الْأَمْرِ بِالْحِرْسِ عَلَى الْأُمُورِ النَّافِئَةِ فِي كُلِّ حَالٍ وَالِاسْتِيَانَةِ بِاللَّهِ وَعَدَمِ الْإِنْقِيَادِ لِلْعَجِزِ الَّذِي هُوَ الْكَسْلُ الضَّارُّ وَبَيْنَ الْإِسْتِسْلَامِ لِلْأُمُورِ الْمَاضِيَةِ النَّافِذَةِ وَمُشَاهَدَةِ قَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْرِهِ. So in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gathered between being diligent in obtaining the beneficial affairs in every circumstance and situation, and seeking the help of Allah, and not complying or falling victim to helplessness, which is the harmful type of laziness. Yani the harmful type of laziness. Whenever a person, he'll be lazy to the extent it's as if he's helpless. Yani that he will not stand up and do what is beneficial for him. He will have opportunity. The opportunity will come to him. He's bright, he's swift, he's healthy, he's strong, he's able to move. Opportunities are coming to him, and he'll let them go by out of helplessness and laziness. Like this, as if he's handicapped, but he's not handicapped. The handicapped here is in the heart, and the deficiency here is in the heart, and in his courage, and the likes like this, or in his faith, not really in his body. In his body, he's strong, and he's capable, and then he will let these great opportunities passing by because of laziness and the likes like this, and not take advantage of situations. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam combined upon this, between these affairs, being diligent in beneficial affairs in every situation, seeking the help of Allah, and not being helpless. And also, وَبَيْنَا الْإِسْتِسْلَامِ لِلْأُمُورِ الْمَاضِيَةِ النَّافِذَةِ وَمُشَهَدَةِ قَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدَرِهِ. And also, gather between those affairs, and also surrendering and submitting to the previous affairs that have been executed and occurred, and witnessing with regards to that the decree of Allah. The decree of Allah. So this is the case. And he, at the time at hand, a believer who be diligent to obtain that which is beneficial for him, rather that which is most beneficial for him. And this is what is obligatory, to be diligent about that which is most beneficial for him at the time at hand, and to not be helpless and to not be lazy, and to seek the help of Allah in performing that. And whatever had already occurred, already happened, to not worry or grieve over that, but rather to say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ, that this is the decree of Allah, and whatever He decrees, whatever He wills will occur. And whatever He wills will occur. So to witness about the past, that which has happened. And to submit to the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, and as for the time at hand, to be diligent. The Shaykh, he says, وَجَعَلَ الْأُمُورِ قِسْمَيْنِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this narration, he has made the affairs two types, or two divisions. قِسْمًا يُمْكِنُ الْعَبْدُ السَّعْيُ فِي تَحْصِيلِهِ أو تَحْصِيلِ مَا يُمْكِنُ مِنْهُ أو دَفْعِهِ أو تَخْفِيفِهِ بِهَذَا فبهذا يبدي فيه العبد مجهوده ويستعين بمعبوده وقسما لا يمكن فيه ذلك فهذا يطمئن له العبد ويرضى ويسلم ولا ريب أن مراعاة هذا الأصل سبب للسرور وزوال الهم والغم. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this narration, this is another benefit he's closing with, rahimahullah, he has divided the affairs into two categories. The first category is the category that a person, he has the ability to obtain it, or the ability to obtain some of it. Then there are affairs in life that a believer is in his ability, he has the ability to obtain them entirely, or the ability to obtain some of that. And there's good that he can obtain, he can reach and achieve all of it, and he can actualize that affair. Or even if he's not able to sometimes achieve the whole affair entirely, he's able to get a portion of that, and he's able to obtain a portion of that good. And then there are other affairs likewise that he's able to repel, or that he's able to to defend and to stay away from and to avoid, or he's able to lighten the affair. So this is the case. And in life, there's good, a believer, he can either obtain it, or at least obtain some of it. Or at least obtain some of it. If he wants a position in a particular job, for example, maybe he's not able to be the mudir, but he can be under that. And maybe he can't reach the highest level, but he can reach a part of that or a portion of that. And the likes like this. Or maybe he wants a particular degree or level. Maybe some people, they'll reach the highest level of that and the best of that, and they'll master that. And others, maybe they will not reach that level, but they'll have a good position and a good status and a good rank. So this is the case with regards to the good. This is the إِحْرِسْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجَزَنْ. And then likewise, there are harmful affairs that a believer, he's able to avoid them entirely. He's able to stay away from them entirely. And then even if he's not able to stay away from them entirely, then he can lighten them. He can take the means to lighten them. And so this is the affairs that a person is facing in this life. So the Shaykh is saying, with regards to these issues here, the issues that he can either obtain them or attain some of them, he can either obtain them or obtain some of them, or the issues that he can repel or lighten it, he will strive hard in this. He will strive hard to attain those affairs. He will strive hard and make great effort to avoid those harms and the likes like this, all while seeking the help of his Lord. All while seeking the help of his Lord. The second category is the one he has no ability whatsoever. Some things that from the decree of Allah, he has no way out. Yani he has no way out except to face them, except to deal with them, and the likes like this. And so he says, at this time, the slave, a person, he will find tranquility and peace, and be pleased with the decree of Allah, and he will surrender to that. He will surrender to that. For example, the loss of a loved one, it's not in the hands of a person. This is not in the hands of a person. He can't lighten this. He can't change that. This is something he has to face. So this is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he will surrender to that. He will accept that. He'll be pleased with that. And then at this time, the Shaykh is saying that no doubt, observing this principle here is from the great means to bring about happiness and joy and peace, and to remove worry and grief, and to remove worry and grief. There's a narration, Allah knows best, that's suitable any for this point as an evidence. It's in Sahih Bukhari from the Hadith of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. He said, أَخَذَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ بِمَنْكِبِهِ فَقَالَ كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ سَبِيلٍ. Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one day he grabbed me by my shoulder. He grabbed me by my shoulder and he said, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ سَبِيلٍ. He said that you should be in this life as if you are a stranger. Yani a stranger, yani meaning that he's a traveler in the land, a strange land, and he's not in his homeland. Or abiru sabil. Oh, here wallahu alam, it means bel abiru sabil. So be in this life as if you're a stranger, rather as if you're a wayfarer. And so that's the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one who is gharib, the one who is a stranger, and maybe he traveled to a land that's not his homeland, so he'll be a stranger there. And the one who is a stranger, maybe normally he's going to travel, and he's not going to be there long. He's going to leave, and so be in life like this, and he prepared to leave at any moment you can leave. So you got to take care of your business and then keep moving. That's the point of the narration, to take care of business, to take care, to not relax, to not delay, to not waste time, to take advantage of your time, to be in life like you're a stranger. But the people of knowledge, they mentioned that somebody who's a stranger in a strange land, it's very possible for him, maybe he'll just decide that he wants to reside there. And maybe he'll travel to a land and he's traveling through there, and next thing you know, he winds up residing there. And he spends the rest of his life there. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh, abiru sabil, or rather, a wayfarer." Because the one who is on the path, the one who is the wayfarer, and he's on the go, he's on the travel during the journey, and he's not going to stop. He's not going to stop. And he's not going to take up residence here. So this is how you should be in this life, because this is not our residence. We're not going to take up residence here. We're going to go to the next life. So the point from the narration is to be like the Shaykh he said, and to kunda ibn yawmika, that you take advantage of your time, and you focus on the issue at hand, and you do not waste time or delay. And for this reason, the narration continues. But now Ibn Umar is mentioned. He says, "Wakana Ibn Umar." He used to say, "Rahimahullah, إذا أمسيت فلا تنتظر الصباح وإذا أصبحت فلا تنتظر المساء وخذ من صحتك لمرضك ومن حياتك لموتك." And Ibn Umar, he mentioned after this narration that he would say that if you come to the evening, then do not wait for the morning, and if you come to the morning, do not wait for the evening. And take from your health and time for your sickness, and from your life before your death. So this is the meaning of the narration. The Ibn Umar, he mentioned after that, and what is intended to be a stranger, or rather to be like a wayfarer, meaning to strive hard and to focus on time on your time at hand, and to benefit, and do not think that you're going to be here forever. You're moving on a journey, and this life is a journey. That's the point. A person is traveling. A person is traveling through this life, and he's traveling back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. And Ibn Umar, he would say after this, إِذَا مْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرْ الصَّبَحِ وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرْ الْمَسَاءِ. And so therefore, if you come to the evening, don't wait for the morning. And if you come to the morning, don't wait for the evening. And you don't wait and say, like now it's evening time, and say, "Oh, inshallah, in the morning, I'll repent. Or in the morning, I'll give charity." Or like this, delay, don't delay. Do the good now. Hasten to do the good. And you hasten to do good. Hasten to be obedient. Hasten to be upright. Hasten to the good that you're able to do at this time. Do not delay, and do not wait. And do not think that you have opportunity later. Rather, take advantage now. Take advantage of the time at hand. And then he would say, وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. And take advantage of your health before your sickness comes, and take advantage of your life before your death comes. And so maybe a person, he will say, inshallah, tomorrow I'm going to do this. And then tomorrow comes and he's sick, he's not able to do it. Or tomorrow he's dead and he's not able to do it. Or tomorrow he becomes preoccupied. And maybe he has time now. And he's able to take care of something, and then he'll delay it till tomorrow, and then tomorrow comes, and people will be calling him left and right, and he'll have obligations popping up on him, and the life's like this, and now he becomes preoccupied, and that affair is lost. But he had time to do it before, but he was lazy, and he did not take advantage of that. This is the point of the narration. This is the point of the narration. Very suitable, and for the point that the author, his mission, and to take advantage of one's time, especially the time that one's dealing with at that moment. At that very moment, you need to be concerned and busy with that. So the Shaykh, he mentions now, Faslun, another chapter. وَمِنْ أَكْبَارِ الْأَسْبَابِ لِإِنْشِرَاحِ الصَّدْرِ وَطُمَأْنِينَتِهِ الْإِكْثَارُ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ لِذَلِكَ تَأْثِيرًا عَجِيبًا فِي إِنْشِرَاحِ الصَّدْرِ وَطُمَأْنِينَتِهِ وَزَوَالِ هَمِّهِ وَغَمِّهِ قال تعالى أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ فلذكر الله أثر عظيم في حصول هذا المطلوب لخاصيته ولما يرجوه العبد من ثوابه وأجره. So the Shaykh mentions also from the greatest means to find peace in one's heart and contentment and tranquility is to mention and to remember Allah abundantly. To remember Allah abundantly. He said this has an amazing effect on finding peace in the heart and tranquility in the soul and removing the worry and the grief. And he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is, in verity by the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find tranquility and peace. In verity by the remembrance of Allah the hearts find tranquility and peace. The remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal has a tremendous effect on obtaining this affair, any specifically, any obtaining happiness and joy and removing pain and grief. And this is because of what a believer or a person, whenever he remembers Allah, he hopes from the reward and from the good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the heart was created for this affair, and all of the actions of worship, the soul of them, and the life of them, and the essence of them, and the purpose of them, is the remembrance of Allah. وَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي and establish the prayer for my remembrance. So the purpose of life is to remember Allah and to worship Him, and to surrender to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever a person, he returns to this and fulfills his purpose in life, this is whenever peace and ease comes and worry and grief, it goes away. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.